The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA. We're on board with you.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's July 5th. I'm Molly Dishner on listener-supported KDLG. A quick check of your marine weather forecast, which somebody forgot to include in yesterday's fisheries report. For Bristol Bay, there is a gale warning still forecast through tonight. Sunday, east winds 25 knots, increasing 35 Sunday afternoon, seas to 8 feet. Sunday night, southeast winds 35 knots, diminishing to 25 knots after midnight, seas at 8 feet. Monday, southeast winds 20 knots, seas at 4. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, gale warning through tonight. Today, east wind 25 knots, increasing to 35 knots in the afternoon, seas at 5 feet, building to 8. Tonight, southeast wind 35 knots, except 25 knots from Port Moeller east, seas at 9. We've heard today from several Nooshigak drifters who fished last night that it was quite a blow. They were a little gun-shy to share their unvarnished take of the events, so instead, here's Ian McKellen subbing in from King Lear, Act 3, Scene 2.
Blow away! And crack your ships! Blow! You cataracts and hurricane hose, spout till you have drenched our steeples. Out the cops!
Good nuncle, said Lear's companion the fool. Here's a knight pities neither wise man nor fool. Despite yesterday's storm, Bristol Bay fishermen caught a total of about 1 million fish, bringing the season total to about 8 million. Nooshigak drift and set netters are open until tomorrow evening. Everyone else has fishing time tomorrow, too. Coming up, a look at fishing on the west side and a conversation about fisheries management with Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton. But first, let's check the numbers. The stormy seas are making for tough fishing for the Port Moeller test boat. The Friday catch was originally estimated at 27, revised to 48 yesterday, and the analysts kicked out an interpretation suggesting that the run might be smaller than forecast. Then, yesterday's replacement index was 55, but not all stations were fished, and in an email, Matt Namath says it'll be adjusted after the next day of fishing. That's not today, though. The boat was weathered in today. Yesterday's Igigik catch was 340,000 sockeye, season total 2.8 million. In Ugashik, 237,000 caught yesterday, season total 929,520. In Naknak-Quidjack, 218,000 yesterday, season total 1.9 million. Nooshigak District, 295,000 sockeye yesterday, season total 2.3 million. And Togiak, 4,500 reds yesterday, season total 34.5 million. Looking at sockeye per delivery, Ugashik, 1,832, Igigik, 477, Naknak-Quidjack, 325, Nooshigak, 646, and Togiak, 79. Now to the escapement counts. Ugashik, 5,500 yesterday, bringing the season total to 250,000. Igigik, 109,000 yesterday, season total 834,000. Naknak, 40,000 sockeye, season total 533,000. Quidjack River count was 372,000 for a season total 743,000 so far. At the Nooshigak sonar, 2,000 kings counted yesterday, season total 77,000, 17,000 reds there, season total 391,000. At the Wood River Tower, 70,000 reds yesterday, bringing the season total to 747,000. Another 10,000 added by 6 a.m. this morning. And the Igushik Tower, 14,000 reds counted yesterday, season total 121,000. 4,500 were added by 6 a.m. this morning. Quick look at the boat counts. Naknak-Quidjack leads with 650 permits on 547 boats. In 48 hours, at 9 a.m. July 7th, there will be 688 permits on 578 boats. Igigik, 454 permits, 369 boats, drops by one each after the wait. Nooshigak, 384 permits, 325 boats, drops by 2 permits, 2 boats, in 24 hours. Ugashik, 140 permits, 107 boats, up to 156 permits, 120 boats after the wait. And Togiak, 46 permits, 46 boats, no changes on the horizon. If you have fish news, tips, ideas, or feedback, send it to me at fish@kdlg.org or call us here at the station anytime.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
We've been hearing about the storm out on the fishing grounds. Today I checked in with Nooshigak Area Manager Tim Sands, who said there were some catches for those who fished it and there might be more fish on their way. What are you hearing from fishermen about how this opener is going with the weather?
I heard that people caught fish yesterday, that if they were able to fish, people did well. It seemed like there was a good push of fish yesterday, but it was tough fishing, and so the number of deliveries was definitely down. For today, I've only heard one report, and that's that they weren't getting a whole lot this morning. So, and again, the harbor looked full of boats this morning, so I think effort's still down.
All right, and then how are escapements looking?
Escapements are looking fine. You know, we're over the lower end of the Wood and Nooshigak Sockeye escapements. We're doing fine there, and I expect, again, the Agushik to... We're very close to the lower end there, so that'll be tomorrow or the next day that we hit that. The escapements are fine. I expect that we'll have a pretty significant increase in our daily escapements late today or tomorrow because of the storm, and that could last for a couple days, especially if it blows tonight like it's supposed to.
So do you think we're seeing the peak right now then with the storm?
It's possible. I don't know. You know, the research guys are the ones to ask that question of. They all have ideas about it. They are looking at the data in a different way than I am. I'm just kind of making the daily decisions. And right now, we're ahead on our escapements, and we can offer lots of fishing time. And that's kind of what I'm focused on.
Sounds good. And what is the plan for fishing here in the next couple of days?
Well, we're open till 6 o'clock tomorrow night, Monday night. And so tomorrow we'll do another announcement. My plan is to probably go back to some kind of 8 hours on, 4 hours off fishing so that we don't have a line fishery. We get the fish spread out in the district, set another some fish. You know, we did the big extension because we knew, because we saw the weather forecast and thought we're going to lose so much effort that we just want to get all the gear in the water that we can get in the water. Now that the weather's coming down, we want to go back to kind of pulse fishing so that we spread the fish out in the district and everybody gets a shot at them. It's not just a line fishery.
Thanks, Tim.
Anytime, Molly.
Back in a moment. When he came into office last fall, Alaska Governor Bill Walker tapped Sam Cotton to head up the Department of Fish and Game. Cotton served 16 years in Alaska's House of Representatives, 2 terms on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, as a fisheries analyst for the Aleutians East Borough. He's also a lifelong Alaskan, a Kachemak Bay commercial fisherman, and also a veteran of 2 tours of duty in Vietnam with the U.S. Navy. He spoke with KDLG's Dave Benninger last week, while on a tour of Bristol Bay with Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott and Commercial Fisheries Director Jeff Regnart.
Commissioner Cotton, good to have you in the studio. Thanks for sitting down with us.
Happy to be here.
Fish and Game has to be the agency or department of the state that interacts the most often with the most Alaskans and visitors, I would guess. Do you feel the same?
Well, you know, I just know that there's a lot of passion, a lot of strong interest from every corner of Alaska deals with some of what we do, whether it's fish or moose or bears or wolves. There's definitely a lot of strong and, again, passionate interest from wide quarters of Alaska.
How do you find the job so far, having stepped into the role?
It's just it's really exciting. When the governor asked if I would do this, I just knew that if I had said no, I'd have really been mad at myself. And it's been very exciting, very interesting. Alaska really enjoys a great luxury in that we have an outstanding professional staff at the department. A lot of people have been there for over 30 years. They love their work. A lot of people have, got to the Department of Fish and Game because that's where they wanted to be, and a lot of people stay. And, again, we're very fortunate in Alaska to have an outstanding professional staff throughout the department.
What's your vision for your term as commissioner?
You know, you focus on the constitutional mandate. We're here to protect fish. We're here to help sustain fishing communities. There's some very important responsibilities as far as game management and fish management in Alaska. So we start out wanting to do an outstanding job in maintaining, the professional staff we have. We have a lot of issues that we are engaged with the United States government on, especially. I also sit on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council.
Do you still hold that job, or are you still hold that seat?
Well, I do again now since I'm commissioner. I sat as a public member for 6 years on the council.
You have the commissioner's.
And so now, and the commissioner has a seat. So as commissioner, I'm back on the council.
And that's a voting seat?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. There are 11 votes on the council. 6 are Alaskans and 3 from Washington, 1 from Oregon, and 1 federal seat. So we theoretically have a majority. We don't always use it to our best advantage, but so often those federal fisheries play a huge role in Alaska economic matters, and so that's one of my goals is to improve Alaska's position in regard to the federal fisheries that take place off our shores. And
while we're on that, let me ask how you came down on the halibut bycatch. That's a very impassioned issue for a lot of folks in Alaska with differing interests. How did the North Pacific Council get – did they get it right?
No, we didn't. And it was unfortunate because we had 2 of our Alaska members recused and 1 of our Alaska members elected to vote with the trawl industry from Seattle. But that issue is not over with. It'll be revisited. There was a reduction, so any reduction is good. And the fleet, I think, is somewhat inspired now to do a better job of avoiding halibut. Halibut and Chinook salmon and chum salmon are big issues in the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska as far as bycatch is concerned. Those are species very important to people in Alaska. The trawl industry in the Bering Sea is more interested in arrowtooth flounder, rock sole, yellowfin sole, species that people in Alaska don't use, may have never seen.
Don't even know about.
So we have a different set of priorities often. Right. Not to say that those industries aren't legitimate industries, but we feel they can do a better job of avoiding those species.
There's an initiative to ban some commercial set nets in some parts of the state. That concerns people in Bristol Bay that it may spread over at some point to here if it should pass. Do you have a position on that matter yet?
Well, I have a personal opinion. I don't think it's the right way to go. I don't think that's any time you try to do fisheries regulations by initiative. But I think that as a state official, we're not supposed to be taking an official position on that. And so I'll try to refrain from that. But I do know that a lot of people in the set net fishing segment of our industry are multi-generational Alaskans. It's a big part of the community's economy, and it's really important to a lot of people. So, we take, their fate very seriously. But the way our system's set up, I mean, the courts are going to decide whether that's a legitimate initiative subject matter.
Okay. There was some talk in the legislative session about shifting the CFEC's duties into Fish and Game. Do you want that role?
It isn't like we're seeking a additional duties here. Because
would you want it, though? Do you think the Fish and Game would handle that role well if tasked?
I think we could. And it's like a lot of other parts of Alaska's government right now. We're facing a huge challenge on fiscal matters, so we're looking for ways to gain efficiencies And if you combine, you know, administrative effort in some areas, you can still accomplish a task. And I think that's possible in this case. I got a lot of respect for Bruce Tromley, who's been with that agency for I don't know how many decades, but does an outstanding job and is certainly very well motivated. And there's a lot of staff over there that are very knowledgeable. So I don't have any real complaints about how they've done their business. But the fact is that over the years, their workload has decreased significantly. And well, so that's why there's been a suggestion that you could gain some efficiencies by some combination of effort.
Also some complaints from folks that the wait times to get permits transferred or to obtain permits are just too long. And that the organization, CFEC, wasn't efficient, also losing workload at the same time. Do you share those concerns?
Well, we had before I was there, the department initiated an examination of the commission and its activities, and right now there's a legislative inspired audit of the CFEC that hasn't been released yet. I don't think they've completed their work yet, so. We're anxious to see the results of that audit.
Let me ask you a couple more questions. I know you've got to run here shortly, but you just had a whirlwind tour of Bristol Bay. I'm sure you're no stranger to this area. Or what's your sense? You're the boss and have a whole lot of staff around this fishery who are counting, managing, and testing and all the rest. Do you think that it's a well-run shop at this point?
I sure do. And one of the reasons why it's good for you know, myself and Jeff Regnart's here too, to get out here is you hear from other people, and you hear if people do have complaints or have some ideas about how we could do a better job. So,
have you heard anything since you've been out?
I've gotten a lot of compliments, and we're not perfect. We can always do a better job, but I think our staff out here is doing a great job. But we're at risk, just like other parts of state government's at risk with our fiscal challenge. So. We're going to do the best we can to make sure people understand the downside of reducing our management effort. And so the better informed we are, the better we're able to defend the fish and game budget. People that live in a place like Dillingham understand the importance of a good management team. And I also understand that if we have a reduced staff and a reduced ability to manage, that's going to make us be more conservative about allowing access to the fisheries, and we don't want to see that.
Do you see any soft targets projects around Bristol Bay that may get cut? Is anything on the table right now?
I couldn't say right now. We're looking at that. I mean, we're constantly being told by the administration and the legislature that we're going to have to tighten our belts. And one thing about the Department of Fish and Game, though, that we have a luxury that some other departments don't have is that we're able to generate revenue. There was a bill in the legislature last year to raise the sport hunting and sport fishing fees. We get a lot of federal money. There are partners that we have that contribute to our effort. So we're not totally reliant on general fund like some other agencies, but we have some substantial dependence on general fund. And
you have partners throughout the bay here, including Round Island. Now has a partner
yes.
to help.
A nonprofit like foundation volunteered to help maintain that staff there. It was a welcome contribution.
Is that part of the future for state-run projects in Alaska?
I think so, and it's not new. But the Round Island thing is maybe new, but that kind of cooperation with other interested parties is I see it as an important part of our future here.
All right. Commissioner Sam Cotton, it's good to have you in the studio. Good to have you touring Bristol Bay, and thanks for making time for us.
I'm thrilled to be here, and thank you.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
In other fisheries news, Russian President Vladimir Putin banned drift netting for salmon and trout in Russia's exclusive economic zone. That goes into effect beginning in January, according to the Japan News, and means Japanese fishing boats can't fish offshore of northern Japan. the shoe company Adidas has announced a partnership with an ocean-focused organization and a new line of sneakers made out of ocean garbage. The new shoes are due out later this year. Gill nets were used in the test footwear. And here in Alaska, the statewide commercial sockeye harvest is estimated at almost 13 million fish, with almost 18 million salmon harvested of all species, according to the Fish and Game's Blue Sheet. That's it for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. Replays are tonight at 6:30, 10, and 2, or you can find it online. Send us feedback, song requests, fish@kdlg.org. I'm your host, Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produces the show. Have a good afternoon.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.